I want to talk today about the chiyuv of women in Simchas Yontif. Are women chayiv in the midst of Simchas Yontif? So we have our Gemara, and what does the Gemara tell us? So by the time the Gemara mentions Nashim, the Gemara says, Dafkuf Tasam Ralif, it says V'samachta b'chagecha. So how does one experience Simcha? The Gemara says, no problem, b'yayin, with wine. Rabbi Yudomer, Anashim Broilem V'Anashim Broilem. Now everybody with what works for them. Anashim, men with wine. Nashim, what about women? So what do we say for women? Nice clothing, good. And kids? So kids, you give them candy, etc. Fine. Although the Gemara doesn't say the candy part for kids as part of Simchas Yontif. The Gemara mentioned that before about keeping them awake. That's the idea, is just to keep them awake. But women, it's to buy them nice clothing. If I were to ask you, based on this Gemara alone, does a woman have a chiyuv of Simchas Yontif? So you would say no. Why? Oh, good. So that the impression you would get is that it's not the woman's personal chiyuv, it's the husband's chiyuv to make her happy. Okay, another question I have for you. When we say men have simcha with wine, what period in history are we talking about? Clearly, if we say men with wine, nowadays, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. How do I know that? Because when we had a Beis HaMikdash, how does a man get simcha? The karban, shalmei simcha. He has to bring karban for simcha. What about women? When we say that women get nice clothing, is that only nowadays? Or is that even when the Beis HaMikdash was around? Whatever it was. Whatever was considered nice. Ah, so the question is, do they have to bring a karban? Or, no, they don't have the karban's not their business. So if the karban's not their business, so then the chiyuv for them back in those days would be for the husband to buy them clothing, just like it is nowadays. That's the way I understood the Gemara when I first read it. That the way what the Gemara is saying is, how does a man do the mitzvah of simcha? Well, for a man, it really depends if there's a Beis HaMikdash or not. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, you've got to do the karban. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, wine. For a woman, there is no chiyuv. She has no personal chiyuv anyway. The whole chiyuv is on the man. It's not the woman's chiyuv to begin with. So if it's not the woman's chiyuv to begin with, what is the man's chiyuv vis-a-vis his wife? His chiyuv is simply do something that puts a smile on your wife's face. That's the idea. The idea is create a happy environment around you. And the way to create a happy environment, make everyone around you happy. What do you think women used to like in the times of the Beis HaMikdash? Same thing they like nowadays. They haven't changed. They like clothing. So you buy them clothing then, you buy them clothing now. It's just about putting a smile on their face, not so that they could do the mitzvah of simcha. They don't have a mitzvah of simcha. So that you can get the mitzvah of simcha. Because guess what? If you're the only guy with a nice big steak and you're around a bunch of depressed people all around you, you're not going to be happy. You need to be in an environment of happiness in order to be happy. So that's your mitzvah of simcha, is by making everybody else around you put a smile on everybody else's face, and that will be part of your mitzvah of simcha. But how with clothing? I would have thought that line about clothing is both for now and for when the Beis HaMikdash was around. For men it changed. We have the basar karban versus the yayin nowadays, but for women I would have thought it stays the same, yeah?
I think why Dafa Gemara mentioned clothing as an example is why women are not tied in simcha. Because women, they wear clothing, right? And let's say they tie clothes and they look beautiful, right? But who are they looking beautiful for? For their husband. So the clothing makes them look more beautiful for their husband.
Okay, let me tell you a secret.
It's also for themselves.
I'm saying women are aesthetic by nature. They care about, and this is not a bad thing or a good thing or otherwise, it just is, they care more about how things look. Just, it would bother them more if things were bland, even if no one is going to see them that day. It's something that they, when I teach Chassanim, I try to remember to follow up a few months later to find out, you know, like what I didn't say that I should have said. Rabbi Janet, did I ever follow up with you a few months later and get your feedback? I did, right? Okay. So I always try to follow up and see like what I didn't say, what I did say. What should I have told you that I didn't? So one guy, Lev Shlomo alumnus, very, very firm guy, married a wonderful girl. He said, you know, one thing that you didn't tell me that I really could have used like this information is that if my wife spends like a half hour in front of the mirror, it's not because she's not shtar. You know, like if a guy spends a half hour in front of the mirror, it's like, okay, so he's, you know, he's not such a frum guy. You know, like who spends a half hour in front of the mirror? Okay, like he's a little vain. He's a little, like when a woman does that, it just means she's a woman. It doesn't mean that she's like not so frum. That's like, it's just natural. That's what she's, you know, wired to do. So woman, it just makes her happy to be wearing nice clothing. It's not only about the husband. But one second. The first question we asked about whether the woman has her own mitzvah of simcha or whether the mitzvah is just for the husband to make her happy is very much related to this question of whether she's part of the shalmei simcha, she's part of the karban. If she has her own mitzvah of simcha, just like a man does, then she should be part of the karban also when the Beis Hamikdash was around. Just like the man has a chiyuv simcha with karban, that would be the woman's chiyuv simcha. And nowadays, do whatever makes you happy. For men, it's wine. For women, it's clothing. But if she does not have her own mitzvah of simcha, it's only a mitzvah on the husband to make her happy, it would be logical to assume that nothing changed from the times of the Beis Hamikdash to now vis-a-vis the woman. It's just whatever makes her happy. It was clothing then, it's clothing now. It would be whatever makes her happy. Yeah.
So based on what you said before about women, they're naturally aesthetic, right? They like to look good. But I've heard from sheer and from bias, whatever, that one of the biggest things that goes through a woman's head is to please her husband. She's always doing things to please her husband, meaning that like, my husband be happy with this, my husband will be happy with this, my husband will be happy with this. I've heard from many of them. So that could be a reason why also is that when she looks good, besides the fact that she also wants to look good for herself, but why not?
Yeah, it's also part of it, okay, that she wants to look good for her husband.
Maybe that's a riot why. It's not mainly because of her simcha, it's because of her husband's simcha. And when she looks good, her husband's going to be even happier.
Okay, but I'll just add that I think it's more than that over here. I think it's just creating a happy environment around you because the pasuk explicitly says that you don't only have to make your wife happy. It's avdecha va'amasecha va'alevi va'hager va'ayasom va'almana asher b'sharecha. Essentially, make your whole neighborhood happy. Why do you have to make your whole neighborhood happy? Anyone who lives in your house, anyone who lives near you, if there's a poor almana that lives down the block, you have to make her happy also. So it seems that it's just creating a happy environment. That the point is to create a happy environment around you. When you create a happy environment around you, so then you'll be happy also. That's what it seems, at least from the pasuk.
How come it talks about an almana but not like a grusha? Curious, like, is there like a big difference?
It's a good question.
Both alone.
Right. You're right. It's a good question. Don't know. It's a good question. Not sure. So the impression we get from this Gemara is that it's the husband's chiv to be misameh her. She has no personal chiv of simcha. If she would, then she would be included in shalmei simcha also. Take a look at the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Daled and Beis. I think it's source number 14. Source number 14 in your packets? I think so. Kiddushin Lamed Daled and Beis. Kiddushin Lamed Daled and Beis is the sugya about figuring out which mitzvahs a woman is chayiv in and which mitzvahs a woman is pater from. So we know the rule. A woman is pater from what kinds of mitzvahs? What category? Time bound positive mitzvah. Let's say shazman grama. So the Gemara, we know that rule because we learned Kiddushin Lamed Daled. I mean, we didn't really, but we heard from someone who learned Kiddushin Daf Lamed Daled. But Kiddushin Daf Lamed Daled is where the Gemara is fleshing it out. The Gemara is trying to figure out, okay, what are women chayiv in? What are they pater in? So we know they're pater from tefillin, for example. And we know, let's say, they're chayiv in other mitzvahs. So we have to figure out, what is it about certain mitzvahs that makes them pater? So Gemara says, well, tefillin is a positive time-bound mitzvah. Why is it time-bound, tefillin? Because what? No, you can put them on after chatzos. You can wear them all day. You can even wear them from mincha. Ah, so you can't wear them at night. Good. And Shabbos and Yantiv. So it is time bound for those reasons. And it's a positive mitzvah, clearly. So women are pater from tefillin. Says Gemara, so we see from there, women are pater from all this, say Shazman Grama. All time bound positive mitzvahs. Tefillin is the paradigm. Everything else is learned from tefillin. Asks the Gemara in Kiddushin. Look at the second line over there. The second line. In the middle of the line. Va'adi yalfinan mi tefillin lepetura. Nelef mi simcha lechiyuva. Maybe instead of learning from tefillin that women are part of the Seishas Man Grama, we should learn from Simchas Yantif that women are chayiv, because women are chayiv in Simchas Yantif, and that's a time-bound positive mitzvah, and yet they're chayiv in it. So that should be the paradigm. We should learn from Simchas Yantif that women are chayiv in all mitzvah shazman grama, the Gemara asks. So if we were to stop the Gemara right there, what's the Gemara telling us? That women are chayiv in Simcha. Ooh. Amar Abaye, says Abaye, no, you're misunderstanding the mitzvah of Simcha. Three critical words. Isha, ba'ala mesamcha. No, a woman's not included in the mitzvah of Simcha. What is it? Isha, ba'ala mesamcha. What does that mean? Her husband has a chiv to make her happy. She has no chiv to make herself happy. She's not chayv in Simcha. It's the kind of mitzvah that you need her to participate in order for you to get your mitzvah. But it's not for her to get her mitzvah. It's like, I think we pointed out, Puruvu. Who's mechayv in Puruvu? The man. Can a man do Puruvu without a woman? Clearly not. He needs a woman in order to get Puruvu. But it's not her mitzvah, it's his mitzvah. Simchas Yantif is like that. The man has a chiyuv of Simcha. The only thing is, he can't get his chiyuv unless he's being sameach his wife also. But she has no obligation in Simcha. So the Gemara says, that's why we don't learn from Simchas Yantif that a woman is chayiv in all mitzvah shazman grama. A woman is not chayiv in Simchas Yantif. Isha, ba'ala mesamcha. It's her husband's chiyuv to make her happy. So far, are we good? Does this fit with Pesachim Daf Kuftes? Yeah, it fits perfectly. Our Gemara said, a man buys his wife nice clothing, makes it sound like it's his chiyuv, not her chiyuv. Here we have Abaye in Kiddushin Lamed Dalet. Man, Isha Ba'ala Mesamcha, the man only has a chiyuv to be Mesamech his wife. It's not that she has her own chiyuv, she does not have her own chiyuv. It's only the husband that has to be Mesamech. So everything's perfect now. Good? We're clear? Everything's perfect. It's all the husband's obligation, not the woman's obligation. Go ahead to source number 15. Gemara Rashana Davavam Beis. Boy Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir raised the following shayla. Isha Mahi Bebalta Acher. Is a woman included in the chiyuv of Balta Acher? What does Balta Acher mean? So Balta Acher means do not delay. Now you have a chiyuv to bring a korban, you're not allowed to delay the bringing of that korban. You have to bring it on time. So is a woman included in that aveira of Balta Acher? So the Gemara says, well, why would you say yes, why would you say no? So mi aminan halo mechayev b'ri'iya, should we say that a woman is not chayev in the mitzvah called ri'iya? The mitzvah of ri'iya is to show up in the Beis HaMikdash three times a year. Which three times a year? Shalosh regal. That a person has to show up in the Azara three times a year. Ri'iya doesn't mean to see, it means to be seen. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to make yourself seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Azara three times a year. So should we say, well, a woman is not chayiv in Re'iyah, and therefore she shouldn't be chayiv in Bal Ta'achar, because Bal Ta'achar relates to Yamim Tovim. They can't delay beyond three Yamim Tovim. When you go up to Yerushalayim three times to bring the carb, you can't delay. So if you don't have to show up, then maybe you shouldn't be included in the Yisra of Bal Ta'achar. O Dilma, Ha'isa B'Simcha. Or maybe she's included in the mitzvah of Simcha, and therefore she should be included in Bal Ta'achar. Because how do you get the mitzvah of Simcha? You bring karban, shalmei Simcha. And a woman is included in that. A woman is chayiv in Simcha, the Gemara says. So maybe she should be chayiv in Bal Ta'achar. That's Rabbi Zeira's Shaila. Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says, why is this a Shaila? V'tepikle do yisa b'simcha. Of course she's going to be chayiv in Bal Ta'achar, because she's chayiv in Simcha. If she's chayiv in Simcha, case closed. She's chayiv in Simcha? Of course she's mechayiv in Bal Ta'achar. Anything troubling about that? What's Abaye saying about a woman in the mitzvah of Simcha? That it's obligated. She's obligated. It's her mitzvah, not the husband's mitzvah. So the Gemara right away notices. Gemara says, wait, Abaye, are you feeling okay? Umiyamar Abaye, hachi? Abaye, you're the guy? Kiddushin lamadalim. You're the guy that said, Isha, Ba'alam Simcha, that a woman has no obligation in Simcha. And now you're telling me that because she does have an obligation in Simcha, that she should be chayv in Bal Ta'achar? She doesn't. You're the one that said she doesn't have an obligation in Simcha. Answers the Gemara, L'dvarav d'Rabbi Zeira ka'amar. Abaye, when he says that a woman is chayv in Simcha, he was saying that Rabbi Zeira holds a woman is chayv in Simcha. And therefore he was saying, you, Rabbi Zeira, who hold a woman is chayv in Simcha, should also hold that she's chayv in Bal Ta'achar. Me? I hold, what does Abaye say? Ba'alam Simcha. She's not chayiv in Simcha herself. It's her husband's chayiv. So now that we know the Gemara in Kiddush, we know the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, if I were to ask you, and we know the Gemara in Pesachim, is a woman chayiv in Simchas Yantiv, or is it only the husband's obligation? What would you say? True, false, machlokes. Woman chayiv in Simcha, what would you say? Machlokes. Between who and who? Excellent. Rebzera and Abaye. Rebzera holds a woman is chayiv in Simcha, Abaye holds a woman is not chayiv in Simcha. Great! So if I want to pass in this halacha, I want to know what to do. What do I have to do? I just have to figure out what's the rule. Do you pass like Abaye? Do you pass like Rebzera? Pretty straightforward. Problem is, there's a rule. There's a rule. They always follow the majority opinion. There are rules that tell us how to paskin in certain cases. Is there an Abaye and Rabbi Zeru? There's a rule Hilchos Rabbi Sura Hilchos Shmuel Bedini. Is there an Abaye and Rabbi Zeru rule that we know about? So I don't think there is, but there is a relevant rule over here, and that is Hilchos Kibasra'i. That we always pass on like the later opinion, which I pointed out to my high school shiur today, is counterintuitive, but it's a rule. Why do I say it's counterintuitive? Because Judaism believes fairly strongly that the earlier generations were greater than us. There is no one today that is like the Rambam or Rashi, or we believe earlier generations were better than us. Yet we paskin like the later generations. There's another rule, by the way, Ein Alach K'talma B'makam HaRav, that you're not going to pass him like a student against the Rebbe, which makes it sound like you've followed the older generation. So it's very confusing. But there is a rule, let's say it's not a Talmud and a Rebbe, that you follow the later generation. What's the logic? Why would you follow the later generation? So certainly if it's a brand new situation, if you have a machlokas Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Rambam about a fax machine, let's say, you would go to Rav Shlomo Zalman because the Rambam never saw a fax machine. What does he know about a fax machine? Right? Certainly, for situations that arise, clearly the chachamim of our generation have to be able to figure out. What if it's about kiddush and shul? I don't know. It's about something that hasn't changed in 1,000 years. What's the logic to follow the later generation? What? Okay, good. So one possibility is our chacham have to paskin for our generation. What about Rabbi Zeira and Abaye? Neither of them know what our situation is, and still we're going to paskin like the later opinion. So it's the midget standing on the shoulders of giants theory. That the earlier generations were giants. But the midget climbs up on the shoulders of giants, and the midget can reach a little higher. He's only a little higher, he's still a midget, he's not the giant, but since he's seen everything the early generations had to say, so he's able to reach a little bit higher. Not that he's not greater than the early generations, but he's able to just reach a little bit higher. There's a riff in Erevin. The riff says, you ever wonder, there are two Gemaras, there are two Talmuds, there's Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi. How do we always paskin? What do we always learn? Talmud Bavli. We never paskin like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. We're always paskin like the Bavli. But the Yerushalmi was Eretz Yisrael. It had so much Kedusha, the Holy Tanaim and Amoraim, and the Talmud Yerushalmi. Why wouldn't we paskin like them? Says the Rif, because the Bavli was written later. And Hilchsa Kibasra'i. It's a great Chiddush on a couple of levels. Let's say you have a midget that never met the giant. He has no idea what the giant said. He never read any of the Rishonim. He just has his own opinion, and it turns out he argues on the Rambam. Would you listen to the midget then? Certainly not. The whole theory is that he's standing on the shoulders of the giant, right? You wouldn't listen to him if you didn't. Passing like the Bavli against Yerushalmi because the Bavli came later only works if the Chachmei Bavel learnt the entire Yerushalmi. So a lot of people question that riff on historical grounds. The Chachmei Bavel had no idea what it said in the Yerushalmi. So it could be that's a difficult... Okay. But generally speaking, when there is a concept of Hilchos Kibasra'i, can you tell from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah who is later, Abaye or Rabbi Zeira? Who lived later? What happened in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Zeira asked the Shaila. They reported the Shaila. And comes along Abaye, and what does he say? What's Rabbi Zeira asking? It should be obvious to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zera holds women are chayiv in simcha, so Rabbi Zera should say they're chayiv in bal ta'acher. Does Rabbi Zera ever respond to Abaye's point? No. Why not? Because he's not there. He's dead. Abaye comes later. Therefore, who's the basrai over here? Abaye. So you should pass like Abaye. So again, what does Abaye hold? Abaye holds women are pater from simcha. Rabbi Zera holds women are chayiv in simcha. So you want to know how to paskin? Of course you're going to paskin like Abaye, right? So let's see what the Rambam does. What? Huh? Okay, it could be, but I think it happens to be the Matthias that Abaye was after. So let's see how we're going to paskin. Take a look at the Rambam, source number 16. The Rambam. Hilchas Chagiga, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Important Rambam to read, even though only the end is relevant for our discussion. It's good yedios to read this Rambam in general. Shalosh mitzvos asay nitzdavu Yisrael b'kol regel mishalosh regalim. There are three mitzvos asay that the Jewish people have to do on every one of the three major Yom Tovim. Ve'elu hein, and the three mitzvos we have are, number one, hari'iyah, the mitzvah called ri'iyah, shenemar yira'a kol zechorcha. How do I know the mitzvah of ri'iyah is only for males? Because it's right there in Chumash. Kol zechorcha. Kol zechorcha means all the males. Why is that funny? Oh, okay, that's not such a bad one. You're not the first person to make that mistake. This week is Parsha Zachar, this week is Parsha, right? You know the Gemara in Babasra tells the story about that? Yeah, the Gemara in Babasra. I'll show you a story. You'll feel a little better or worse, I'm not sure. But we'll see. The Gemara in Babasra says, we have a mitzvah Timcha Zecher Amalek. Right? You're supposed to wipe out the Zecher Amalek, any remnant, any memory of Amalek. So comes along, well, before it comes along, the Gemara of Abbasra tells the story. Daf Chaf Aleph. Daf Chaf Aleph. So the Gemara tells the story. Yoav killed out all the Zachar, all the males of Edom and Amalek. So when he came to David, Amalei, he said to him, "My time of Adatachi. Why didn't you kill the Nekevos as well? Right? Why did you only kill the males? The halacha is when you destroy Amalek, you're supposed to destroy everybody. Not just the men, not only the women, men, women, children, animals, everything. The chasim of Amalek are asur. Someone asked me Shaila the other day. He said his grandmother was paying her housekeeper, and she gave her some coins. I don't know who pays her housekeeper in quarters, but she was paying her housekeeper in quarters. And the housekeeper said, "Wait, this isn't a real quarter," and gives it back to him. The grandmother looks at the coin, and it's a Nazi coin. It has a swastika on it and everything. It's an actual Nazi Third Reich coin. And the grandmother's like, "Oh my gosh." So her shayla was if that coin is muktzah. So like, forget about it, muktzah. Is it also about no? Because it's in the chasm of Amalek. An interesting shayla. Okay. But she, where was I? Yeah, you have to wipe out everything. You're not going to get any hana from the chasm that belongs to Amalek. You have to get rid of everything from Amalek. So why did you do this? Amalei says, "What do you mean? It's beferish in the pasuk. Timcha es zayin chaf reish Amalek. You should wipe out the." So, what is it really? It's really zecher Amalek. You should wipe out any remnant of Amalek. But he was taught timcha es zachar Amalek. I wiped out all the males of Amalek. The Gemara says. So Amalei. So he said back to him, "V'ha'anan zecher karinan." Who read it to you as Zachar? It's Zecher, it's not Zachar. Amalei ana Zachar ikarium. My Rebbe taught me Zachar. My Rav paskind, I can say Zachar. Azul shaylei l'Rabbi. So he went and he asked his Rebbe. Now here's where it gets tricky because there are no nekudos in the Gemara. So he went to his Rebbe. And Amalei, hey chakrisan. He said to his Rebbe, "Hey, how did you teach me this word?" Amalei. So he said to him, Zayin Chafresh. We don't know what the Rebbe said, because the Gemara has no nekudos. So Shagal Safsira L'miktilei. So he took out his sword to kill the Rebbe. He took out his, not a sword, the smaller sword, a spear, or whatever, machete, whatever, to kill the Rebbe. Machete, to kill the Rebbe. So I'm like, am I? So the Rebbe said, whoa, wait, why are you killing me? I forgot to teach you it's also to kill. Don't kill me. So Amalei, he said, you know I killed you? You know I'm about to kill you? Someone who doesn't do the work of God in teaching Torah to young children properly and doesn't take his job seriously is cursed. So that's why I'm killing you. You didn't teach me properly. So it's unclear what it means he didn't teach him properly. If the Rebbe said Zachar, so then he's yelling at him, how could you not know it yourself before you're teaching? You don't even know it yourself. You said Zachar? Were you nuts? You got the word wrong. If the Rebbe said Zecher, so then his taina on him was, how could you be so negligent in making sure the children understood? Yeah, you knew it the whole time. And you didn't make sure that we understood it. We were hearing Zachar. So whatever happened, he was disappointed with the Rebbe. So he's ready to kill the Rebbe. So Amar Leih, so he said, why are you killing me? He said, because it's cursed anyone who's a Rebbe like you. So Amar Leih, Shavkei Lu Gavra De Leikum Barer. He says, you're right, I should be cursed, not dead, cursed. So don't kill me. So Amar Leih, Ksiv Aramonei Charba Midam. But there's another pasuk, cursed is someone who withholds the sword from blood. So what was the end of the story? So exciting, right? Biggest letdown at the end. What's the biggest letdown? Biggest letdown, what would the biggest letdown be?
If the story just ends.
So the bigger letdown is alternate endings. The worst way to end the movie is alternate endings, right? That, yeah, maybe it happened this way, maybe it happened that way. So, Ikadamri Katle, Vikadamri Lo Katle. Some say he killed him, some say he didn't kill him. Okay, whatever happened at the end. There is a pronunciation controversy on the word Zecher. In many shuls, based on the Mishnah Berurah, they say it twice, Zecher and Zecher. But those words mean the same thing. Zachar? That's awful. That no one says Zachar. So you should know that you're not the first person to make this mistake. Yoav ben Tsruya made this mistake with Zecher and Zachar. So, okay. No, he killed his Rebbe. He killed his Rebbe. Don't get any ideas. So, so the Pasuk says, so where were we? Yeah. Hari'iyah. The first mitzvah is the mitzvah of Ri'iyah. Because the Pasuk says, Yerah calls the Chorcha. Did we ever do a Temin Halacha on that, on Zecher versus Zecher? That's a good Temin Halacha. We gotta do that one. Gotta ask Tepper. Okay, someone text him. He should just come already. We're always consulting him. Okay. Shenemar Yerah calls the Chorcha. The Pasuk says Yerah calls the Chorcha. So Zechorcha here means you're males. So only males are chayiv in Ri'iyah, obviously. V'chagiga, the second mitzvah is Karmel Chagiga, Shnemar Tachog L'Hashem Elokecha. And third mitzvah is V'asimcha, Shnemar V'samachta B'chagecha. Ha'Ri'iyah, Ha'amura B'Torah, Yishinir, Panav Azar, B'Yom Tov, Rishon Shel Chag. Ri'iyah means on the first day of each Yom Tov, to show up in the Azara, V'yavi Imo, Karban Ola, B'in Minov, B'in Minov, Behema. And you have to bring a Karban Ola. The Karban Ola could be bird, it could be an animal, whichever one. And if a guy shows up to the Beis HaMikdash and does not bring a karban, not only did he not do a mitzvah, it's a violation of an iser. You're not allowed to appear empty handed in the Azara. But you don't get malchus because it's lav shem b'maisa. Fine, that's mitzvah number one. Mitzvah number two. Hachagiga amura betora. He sheyakrav shlamim biyom tov rishon shel chag b'vol laharos. That's to bring a carbon shlamim called shalmei chagiga. V'ador v'yodua sheyna shlam b'yom el men ha-behema. There's no such thing as a bird carbon shlamim. Carbon shlamim is always behema. So he's got to bring a behema. V'shtei mitzvot elu. So these first two. Shehein, hari'iyah, v'chagiga. Ein anashim chayavos behen. Definitely women are not chayim. Ah, now we get to the part that's nogea to us. What about the third mitzvah? Shalmei simcha. So now, if you're Abaye and you're writing this Rambam, so what would you say? You're writing this halacha. If you're Abaye, would you say a woman is chayav or pater from shalmei simcha? Pater. And if you're Rabbi Zeira, what would you say? Chayav. Because Rabbi Zeira holds that she is chayav in her own mitzvah. Good. So, and we know that Hilchsa Kibasrai. So, what's the Rambam supposed to paskin? Like who? Like Abaye. And therefore, you should say that women are Hadrim Shalmei Simcha. And I wouldn't give you this whole build-up if he actually said that. So what does Rambam actually say? Va'asimcha amur galim v'shiyakrim shalom yasra shalmei chagiga. Simcha means to bring Shalmei Simcha. Ve'eluyem in a crime, Shalmei Simcha's chagiga. It's called Shalmei Simcha's chagiga. Most of the time we just call it Shalmei Simcha. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, "V'zavach Hashem ve'achal Hashem v'smach l'tnei Hashem l'kecha." Bring karbanos, bring a shlamim, and experience simcha. V'nashim chayavos b'mitzvah zu, and women are chayiv in this mitzvah. Who's he passing like? Rabbi Zeira, it sounds like. Women have to bring their own shalmei simcha, which means that when he reads Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes, that you buy women clothing. Yeah, you know when you buy women clothing? Zman Hazeh. When the Beis Hamikdash was around, how would a woman experience simcha? Same way a man would, shalmei simcha. That's what the Rambam seems to assume. We pass on like Rabbi Zeira, that a woman is chayiv in shalmei simcha, and when the Beis Hamikdash was around, she would be mekayim that mitzvah the same way a man would be mekayim that mitzvah. Yeah? So the way to say it then would be that the reason that it says that it emphasizes the husband buying her clothing, not her buying herself clothing, it's not because it's not her mitzvah. It's her mitzvah to have simcha. She doesn't have money. The husband has money, so the husband has to see to it that she's able to fulfill her mitzvah. But it's not a kiyum of the husband's mitzvah of simcha to buy her clothing. It's her mitzvah of simcha. And just like what makes him happy is wine, what makes her happy is clothing, so he fulfills his mitzvah by drinking wine, she fulfills hers by wearing new clothing. Yeah. Yeah. Everything, any mitzvah should be chayiv in. The assumption is the husband would have to provide it for her. That's part of his chiyuv of supporting his wife. Any mitzvah that costs money?
Can we just say this only applies to the booze time of the
those times?
I'm saying this only applies in the time that...
Well, it would be hard to say that when the Beis Hamikdash was around, a woman had a personal chi of simcha, and then when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, now she no longer has it. Where did the mitzvah go? Why would the husband still have a mitzvah of simcha and not the wife? So it would be hard to say that. And you would assume that if she once had her own personal mitzvah, then she always has her own personal mitzvah.
Also, think about a married woman, assuming, let's say, you're a Naira who's not married. According to the Rambam, she would have. According to the buyer, there would be nothing, zero, nothing, not even the husband. So, no.
So it should be pointed out. I forgot to point this out. The Gemara in Kiddushin asked on Abaye, how can you say it's only a husband's responsibility? The Pasuk says you have to provide an almana. The almana's husband can't provide anything anymore. He's dead. So if you're providing an almana, how could you say it's only the husband's responsibility? So the Gemara answered that it's not just the husband. It's anyone in the neighborhood. So if you know that there's a poor almana in your neighborhood, in order for you to have simcha, you have to provide for her also. So it would apply, like you said before, grusha also pashtus. So it would apply to anyone in your neighborhood who's unfortunate and alone and poor and needs. That's part of the mitzvah of simcha.
So shouldn't that apply not only to women, too, if say there's a good poor guy?
Yeah, it does. Pasuk says, gercha, levi, yaso. Yeah, it sounds like even for guys also. Meaning, make people around you happy is what it sounds like in the pasuk. But what we're saying now is that for a woman, she has her own chiyuv simcha. She has her own chiyuv simcha. Elamai, when there are people around you that are unhappy, you got to provide them with that chiyuv of simcha. People who don't have the wherewithal to be able to provide themselves with that simcha, you have to take care of them also.
A woman who gets divorced or she's widowed, if she owes the other.
If she has a base of via to return to.
She has a father. So in that case, would it be the father's obligation now to...
Yeah, probably whoever's closest to her should do it. Now, says the...
The Rambam, I'm saying... The Rambam says over here that the husband has to make them happy. Last week, no?
Oh, good. No, where is Rambam? Yes, verse number 2. Which halacha?
I'm saying he has to make everyone happy, karai love. So I'm saying this, so the shlamim could only apply to back then. And maybe the whole reason why it's different is because the only reason why we can go against that asish is grandma, maybe because it's barabim and it's like the whole, maybe it's different.
It's interesting. How did the Rambam set up that halacha? It's interesting. The Rambam writes that when the Beis HaMikdash was around, the Rambam source number 2 writes in Halacha Yitzayin, when the Beis HaMikdash was around, it's really Korban Shlamim. But included in that mitzvah is doing whatever makes everybody happy. And that's why you give children candies and women clothing. So you're saying this Rambam sounds like what? That a woman is chayiv or not chayiv?
It kind of seems like it's almost derabanan these days. We can only be doing it. It's like a lesser level. We can only be doing part of it and not the whole.
But you think when the Beis HaMikdash was around, she for sure was chayiv in Shalmei Simcha?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on to that for a second. Look at the Ravid over here. Says the Ravid, V'nashim chayiv mitzvah zu. Amar Avram, lo b'karban. Women are not chayiv in the karban. El b'simcha shetismach im baila shetale imo v'hu yismach osav. The simcha of a woman is with her husband, that she should go to Yerushalayim with him, and he will be mesameach her. In a span of 8 words, the Ravid mentioned the husband 3 times in describing the woman's mitzvah of simcha. What does that tell you? That it's his mitzvah, it's not hers. His mitzvah is to be mesameach her. Otherwise, he wouldn't keep on mentioning the husband. Imbaila, oleimo, vuhu yismachasa. It's obvious, we're talking about the husband. This is the husband's mitzvah of simcha. So the Ravid jumps all over the Rambam and says, what are you doing? I pass like Abaye, exactly. I pass like Abaye. How could you pass like Reb Zera? So the Ravid's jumping up and down. He's screaming at the Rambam. How could you pass like Reb Zera? Hilchos Kabbasrei. Take a look at the Beit Yosef, at the Kesef Mishnah, author of Beit Yosef, Reb Yosef Kairo. Source number 17. Says the Kesef Mishnah. First of all, the Kesef Mishnah writes, a chiddush from Rabbeinu Tam. He says, you know, Rabbeinu Tam says that when we say that a husband has to be mesameach his wife with nice clothing, that means bizman hazeh. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, a husband has to be mesameach his wife. It's not her chiyuv, it's his chiyuv, but the way he should be mesameach her is by sharing his karban shlamim with her, by sharing the shalmei simcha with her. So it turns out, says Rabbeinu Tam, that saying that a woman is participates in Shalmei Simcha is not saying that it's her chiyuv. No, it's not her chiyuv. It's the husband's chiyuv. The way he does it is not with whatever makes her happy. It is with Shalmei Simcha. Good? Then he says, and the Ravid jumps all over the Rambam. He says, last line of this Kesef Mishnah, Ve'in tfisa al Rabbeinu lama lo herich levar zeh. I don't know why he's trying to chap this Rambam. There's no chap on the Rambam why the Rambam didn't say this. Meaning, Kesef Mishnah is saying, the Rambam agrees with the Ravid over here. He's not saying anything different. He agrees 100%. The chiyuv of Simcha is a chiyuv on the husband, not a chiyuv on the woman. The woman is not chayiv in the mitzvah of Simcha. It's just that the way the husband fulfills the mitzvah is how? By sharing with her his Shalmei Simcha. The Rambam holds that way also. He's not disagreeing with the Ravid. He's basically telling the Ravid, you misunderstood the Rambam. But the Rambam didn't say it so explicitly. So Kesef Mishnah is saying quite a chiddush. Because look at the words of the Rambam are, V'nashim chayavot b'mitzvah zu. Women are chayiv in this mitzvah. So the way the Kesef Mishnah reads that is, men are chayiv to share their Shalmei Simcha with women. He just, you know, happened to say shorthand that women are chayiv in the mitzvah. So Kesef Mishnah solves the problem. Why does the Rambam not pass like Abaye? And he says, oh, he does pass like Abaye. The problem he raises, the problem he creates, though, is that the words of the Rambam don't say what they're supposed to say. So the Shagas Aryeh has issues with this Kesef Mishnah. This long Shagas Aryeh in Siman Samach Vav. Now, in Tzitzal Rambam, the Ravid has no taina on the Rambam. The Rambam just didn't feel like he has to spell out Rachel Bilcha Ketana every last letter of it. But the Rambam clearly meant just what the Ravid said. The Rambam means the same thing. Quiet a chiddush. Okay.